This is ESPN Chicago. WNVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. Now here's your host, Connor McKnight.
Good afternoon and welcome in to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Happy holidays, White Sox fans. Starting at just $66, get a White Sox holiday pack redeemable for more than 50 games throughout the 2025 season. To learn more and to purchase, visit WhiteSox.com/holiday packs. Well, you know the big news on the show today. You know the big news throughout all of baseball here over the last 4 or 5 days has been the White Sox trade of lefty ace Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox for 4 different players, a veritable haul, one the likes of which that Chris Getz, White Sox general manager, the rest of the front office, and of course White Sox fans, hope is the catalyst, the gas in the tank of a rebuild that will begin to get the White Sox back into contention as soon as is possible. We're going to break down each and every one of the players that the White Sox got back in this trade. We're going to hear from White Sox general manager Chris Getz. We'll hear from Kyle Teal, one of the guys maybe closest to the bigs that the White Sox got back in this deal. Certainly the guy with a whole lot of helium in his resume, a former first-round draft pick of the Boston Red Sox. Really, 2 first-round draft picks of the Boston Red Sox coming back to the White Sox in this trade. Teal, a first-round draft pick in 2023. He's the catcher. And Braden Montgomery, the other one. Now there's 2 Montgomerys in the White Sox system. Colson Montgomery and Braden Montgomery, an outfielder who did not play in the minors last year, having rehabbed a busted ankle that he suffered in the run to the College World Series in college. An enormous talent, a whole lot of power, and a guy that, as you'll hear Chris Getz say, and probably have heard him say already, a lot of people had figured for a top 3, top 5 kind of pick in last year's draft had that injury not happened in the College World Series. That said, we've got a lot to talk about here, and in no small way is it about what has just happened, but also what's next for the White Sox, both as it regards kind of the rest of the tentacles around this Garrett Crochet trade and around the rest of the things that really don't connect to Crochet. I mean, not really, but still are going to affect this White Sox roster as we get closer and closer to spring training coming up in just a little bit. Appreciate you being with us. And I think you know as much as anybody else that we've been kind of waiting here on this show, and like everybody who covers the White Sox have been, for this to happen. In a lot of ways, I think many people who talk about this team have had to tread water in a good way. You know, I mean, it's not a bad thing to tread water. After all, it keeps you from going under. But have had to tread water because this is the next big thing for the White Sox. Or I guess has been the next big thing for the White Sox since they hired Will Venable, the new manager who's going to be in charge of these 4 new players, I think sooner rather than later. First, I think looking back at the season Garrett Crochet had is pretty important to do. And I think there's a couple of things that get talked about a lot and a few things that maybe don't get talked about enough in looking back at Garrett Crochet's 2024 season as it regards evaluating what the White Sox got back from Boston. Now, Crochet, I think for a lot of people, was an enigma, a high ceiling kind of pitcher, certainly with some high octane stuff, but one that a lot of people, including myself, figured for a bullpen role in 2024. We talked a lot about the White Sox decision to start him all through spring training, certainly to give him the opening day assignment was, that was an eyebrow raiser to be sure. And here it is, Garrett Crochet has turned himself into one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I know that that gets met with some pushback because of the second half that had to be for Garrett Crochet. I had a chance to talk to a couple of White Sox front office members over the last few days, and it should not be understated just how much Crochet had to be throttled back in the second half of the year, not only for his own health, but for the long-term health of the organization. It had seemed pretty clear that the White Sox best path to long-term contention was unfortunately having to trade Garrett Crochet. And I say unfortunately because anytime you have an elite talent, you want to do and probably exhaust every method of keeping him around as long as you can. Those extension conversations, and I think more will probably come out about whether or not there were serious conversations between Crochet and the White Sox. There were certainly some. But given the fact that the entirety of the organization needs a whole lot more in terms of, you know, hitting, the pitching's in decent shape, but they need bats and were able to get that. And the only way that they were really able to going to get that in short order was by trading Crochet to the Red Sox. Now, what made these two teams match up quite a bit, I think, is the prospect surplus that the Boston Red Sox had. They've got Roman Anthony. They've got Christian Campbell. They've got Marcelo Mayer. And all three of those guys, top prospects in the organization, did not go to the White Sox in this trade. Instead, and according to the release, I'm kind of reading it off the email now just as a bit of, I don't know, nostalgia, I suppose. The White Sox acquired Kyle Teal, Braden Montgomery, Chase Meadroth, and Wickelman Gonzalez from the Boston Red Sox. Three hitters, Teal, Montgomery, and Meadroth, and a right-handed pitcher in Gonzalez that will, I think, probably see some big league time here in 2025. More on kind of the scouting reports from these guys as we go, but I think if there's criticism of the trade, it's of two shades, right? One, that the White Sox were in a position to have to make this trade at all, and that is understandable. It's something that Chris Getz talked about with Cap and Jay Hood, our morning show on ESPN 1000 on Friday, and you'll hear part of that interview in just a little bit here. But it's the nature of baseball. It's part of the cycles of baseball. There are very few teams that over the last 15, 20 years have not had to embark on some sort of, and certainly the White Sox are, you know, building from the lowest, right? 121 losses last year, a major league record. They are building from the lowest point in Major League Baseball history in terms of wins and losses. This is then, therefore, kind of the biggest rebuild project that we've seen. Although I think you probably argue that Houston Astros endeavor of the early 2010s was maybe a bigger task. Either way, I think when we look at some of the critiques of the players the White Sox got back, both positive and negative, one of the things that's been pointed out quite often is that these four players, Teal, Montgomery, Meadroth, and Gonzalez, are all regarded by many, if not all, to be future major leaguers. There aren't guys in this trade coming back to the White Sox that have a lot of concerns from places saying, well, we don't know if he can make the bigs. And when you start there as a floor, when you begin evaluating from, yes, each and every one of these players very clearly has what it takes to play at the big league level, that's important. When you look at trades past, and comparing the Chris Sale trade and the Garrett Crochet trade it's easy to do because it was the same two teams. It was very similar places in competition window, all this kind of stuff, right? The Red Sox had just missed out on Max Fried. And I believe, if memory serves, they had missed out on a free agent pitcher when they traded for Chris Sale. My spacing on who exactly that was, maybe you can text and find out. But either way, it makes sense, right? But remember this, too. Two of those players in that trade did not make the bigs that the White Sox received for Chris Sale. And if this is the case, that all four of these guys are not only going to make the big leagues with, you know, the air quotes on, then they're certainly very close. Teal and Meadroth both played at AAA last season. Montgomery is probably the farthest away, and that's because injury cost him the entirety of last season, or any meaningful baseball anyway. And then whether it's as a starter or as a reliever, and it certainly looks like the White Sox, certainly sounds like the White Sox will try to get Wickelman Gonzalez some starting opportunities in spring training so he can compete for a rotation spot. It'll begin there. It'll start in the starting rotation, the journey for Wickelman Gonzalez. So, you know, those kinds of things and their proximity to the big leagues make this, I think, a pretty enticing trade for the White Sox. And the other part of it, the other side of the coin, however, is did the White Sox get enough top-end talent in this deal? Why didn't they get Roman Anthony, considered by many to be one of the top prospects in baseball, or Marcelo Mayer, or Christian Campbell? You know, the guys all rated by a lot of different scouting services as better prospects than Braden Montgomery and Kyle Teal in this deal. Well, I think the reason for that is pretty clear, and I get that it's difficult maybe to see the forest for the trees on this. The one thing Garrett Crochet didn't have last year was a track record. The fact that the innings had to be managed last season, the fact that the conversation around whether or not the White Sox were going to trade him centered around if he was going to start or be a bullpen piece for whatever team was going to acquire him last season, the contract negotiation or extension request certainly threw a bit of a wrench. Exactly what size? I don't think anyone's exactly sure yet, except for those who were really involved in the conversations. That hasn't leaked out to this point. But the question then kind of becomes, all right, is Garrett Crochet worth trading with a one-year track record and 2 years of control, or with 2 years of track record, 24 and whatever would have been 25, or you know the first half of 25 up to the deadline, and just 1 year of control left, or one and a half if you're trading with the deadline this year? And I think what we're seeing is that the fact that he didn't have, you know, more of a starter's workload, any of a starter's workload prior to 2024, and the requisite injury concerns that come around a guy that's, you know, bounced around or had a couple of injuries, shoulder injuries coming back from Tommy John surgery, those are real concerns. As much as I watched Garrett Crochet last year, and at times you would watch him dominate lineups and go, well, how could you be concerned about this guy at all? The fastball's ridiculous. The cutter is stupid, and he just invented it like 3 weeks ago. Changeup's coming along, and he's got that slider when he needs, you know, all those sorts of things. It definitely looked like there were no concerns in terms of on-field talent. And yet, it is fair for other teams around baseball to ask those questions, to hold those concerns, and, for lack of a better phrase, hold it against the White Sox in terms of the actual return in players. And to that end, I think the White Sox did a pretty good job here in acquiring the bulk talent, just right, the number of or quality of players. If you were if you're playing MLB The Show or Out of the Park Baseball or something like that, and you had just the single digit number, right, the rating numbers, like Juan Soto's a 99, right, or you know Justin Verlander's prime is a 90, those sorts of ratings on video games kind of things. If you're just totaling up the numbers you get back from the players, right, in terms of current and future value, I struggle to see how there was likely a better package out there for the White Sox in terms of total overall value. Now, how that value fits onto this coming 2025 roster and beyond is absolutely a fair question to ask, and one that we're going to get into in just a little bit here on the show. Garrett Crochet has been traded, and while it was, you know, I mean, maybe the thing, the most fun thing to watch all season long for White Sox fans, certainly for me, when I was at the ballpark, the White Sox have chosen to move on and enforce their ranks with four new prospects. When we come back on the other side of a break, we're going to hear from White Sox general manager Chris Getz. He'll tell you about the prospects they got back, about their proximity to the big leagues, about what might be next on the White Sox radar, perhaps a trade of center fielder Luis Robert and two young guys, or at least fairly young guys, in Andrew Vaughn, not so young, and Colson Montgomery, yet to play in the big leagues, and where they're at in their respective development and how much they'll matter on the 2025 team and beyond. Lots more to do here on White Sox Weekly. Don't go anywhere. We'll hear from White Sox GM Chris Getz next on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back in to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Sox fans, now's your chance to meet with new White Sox manager Will Venable. Enter the Meet the Manager sweepstakes for your chance to win an exclusive meet and greet on January 23rd. To learn more and enter, visit whitesox.com/meet the manager. Well, the White Sox traded Garrett Crochet earlier this week at the conclusion of MLB's winter meetings. Hey, nice to see stuff happening in the offseason. I know it's way down the list of concerns for White Sox fans right now. Crochet just got traded. Four new players. We got to find out who they are, where they're ranked, where they're going to start. We get to hear from White Sox general manager Chris Getz, all that kind of stuff. But whether it was, you know, the start of the winter meetings with Dick Allen getting into the Hall of Fame. Fantastic stuff. And Dave Parker, too, getting in, both of them on the Veterans Classic Era Committee. That absolutely well-deserved, long-deserved in both of their cases, and great to see that each guy is getting their just deserve. Obviously, Dave Parker is still around, dealing with some health conditions. Dick Allen no longer with us, and obviously that could have been... Listen, they should have been Hall of Famers much before this, and it is unfortunate that that's kind of the situation of Hall of Fame voting, but it is what it is, and I guess more than that, congratulations to both of them and their families on a long overdue and well-deserved honor. So anyway, that was the start of the winter meetings, and then about a half an hour after that happened, Juan Soto signed for a gajillion dollars with the New York Mets. We'll talk about that at some point here in this offseason. Not entirely sure when, because they've got way too much to do. But on the last day, after a whole lot of signings, and I think some of them might have hit the accelerator on this trade. You know, Max Fried going to the Yankees, Blake Snell signing his deal with the Dodgers, all this other stuff. Pitching kind of flew off, well, maybe not flew off the board, but certainly went off the board and went off at expensive prices. So I think, you know, the number attached to Garrett Crochet, right, the, something like $3 million, for a top-tier lefty starter means as much as maybe anything else. And as we were talking about earlier in the show here this afternoon, when we were talking about, you know, 2 years of control for Crochet versus one and change if you're moving him at the deadline, if the White Sox were to have traded him then, you know, the big deal, a big deal, maybe the biggest part of it is being able to get this guy now for $3 million bucks this season when other free agent starters are clearing $20 million for half of what Garrett Crochet was able to do for the White Sox last season in terms of a rate production status. After all, he led all of baseball with 140 innings pitched. At minimum 140 innings, Garrett Crochet had the highest strikeout rate, even higher than NL Cy Young winner Chris Sale, which congratulations to him. Either way, four players came back to the White Sox in this deal. Kyle Teal is the highest ranked of those prospects. And I'm going to use, we talk about this a lot, just for ease, and I think we'll get into these prospects, these players, a little bit more, a lot more in weeks to come, because they deserve, maybe each one deserves their own show, and I think we'll probably get it to them. Kyle Teal, the second-ranked prospect in the White Sox system, a top 100 guy. Depending on where you look, you know, he's in that 30 to 40 to 50 range, something like that. I'm using MLB Pipeline right now for the White Sox rankings and the top 100. Teal is the second-ranked prospect in the White Sox system, just below left-handed starter Noah Schultz. After Teal, Hagen Smith, last year's first-round pick, ranked number 3. Colson Montgomery, ranked number 4. And Braden Montgomery, ranked number 5. Edgar Caro, another catcher, and the White Sox now have a catching tandem, something they'll have to deal with one way or the other going forward. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Edgar Caro, number 6. Jairo Iriarte, number 7. Grant Taylor, number 8. George Wolkow, number 9. Mason Adams, number 10. Chase Meadroff, the other guy the White Sox got in this deal, an infielder, second base mostly, but he can play around the diamond, a really high contact rate and good walk rate sort of dude. High average, high on base, not much slug, but a pretty good glove. He comes in at 13th in the White Sox system right now. And Wickelman Gonzalez, a right-hander with a lot of stuff and a lot of walks, is ranked number 14. He is the, let's see, you've got Schultz and Smith, top two pitchers in the organization. Then Iriarte and Taylor, the 3 and 4. Mason Adams, 5. Kai Bush, 6. So the 7th-ranked pitching prospect for the White Sox, Wickelman Gonzalez. And I think a lot of people have, you know, thought twice, I think, about where Kai Bush is ranked. Not that he's not a good prospect, but given last year and just the struggles he had in dealing with major league hitters, I think there could be a little bit of a shuffle there, and Gonzalez could rocket up that list just a little bit more. So that's where they stand now. But that's just me talking about the rankings that MLB Pipeline has put together. And while they certainly do their work, Chris Getz is the guy that made the trade for these players. He was on the morning show with Cap and Jay Hood early on Friday, and gave a bit of a rundown on the return in the deal. Here's Chris Getz.
This deal that we just did, and where Garrett Crochet was a year ago, I mean, we knew that he was a talented pitcher. He had some injuries. He was a reliever, hadn't really started much in his pitching career. And, you know, we committed to it. And, gosh, a year later, to be able to get, you know, Kyle Teal, who was their 2023 first-round draft pick, Braden Montgomery, most recently, you know, this most recent draft, their 2024 first-round draft pick, Chase Mydroff, who's been one of the top performers in minor league level. And then we got a big arm in, you know, Wickelman Gonzalez. So, yeah, I feel pretty good. And that's just a result of everything we've been building towards to be able to pounce at an opportunity like this.
So you can hear that, you know, that there's a good tone to that, to his voice. I mean, he's excited about the trade they made. And I think as much as we talked about this Crochet trade, you know, the theoretical entity that it was for weeks and weeks and weeks and really months, they needed to get this right. And time will tell on whether they did, but I can tell you that internally, you know, from the conversations that I've had, they really feel confident about what they got back in this trade. And I understand what you may be thinking with a skeptical eye, and I applaud it, right? I think it's worth it. Of course, they like the deal. They made it. They evaluated these players. Why wouldn't they like this deal? Yes, that's true. But you have to also remember that when we're talking about what the White Sox ended up deciding on doing and getting in the Garrett Crochet trade, what that front office also has in front of them are prior offers from other teams. And make no mistake about it, whether it was the thing that may or may not have been really close with the Phillies at the deadline last year, or the thing that may have been there with the Phillies a couple of weeks ago, or other teams too, you know, the White Sox have gotten offers on Crochet, whether they're formal or just kind of like, you know, talking things over one way or the other. They've got a really good sense. They have had a really good sense of what the marketplace would bear or pay for Garrett Crochet in terms of prospect talent. And that means that they're able to evaluate kind of side by side the different deals that are out there. It's not like they're hunting blind or anything like that. They understand what the market's going to go. So if you're saying, oh, what about Roman Anthony? Well, listen, no other team, I don't think, was offering their version or anything close to a Roman Anthony of prospect. And therefore, you know, this is the return the White Sox got, and they're incredibly happy with it. I think one of the other things that has colored the response of the front office or the conversations of the front office with media outlets like us here at ESPN 1000 on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show is the proximity of these players, many of them, if not all four, to the bigs, right? Kyle Teal played in about 30 games at AAA last season. Chase Mydroff spent the entire season at AAA. Let's see. Wickelman Gonzalez actually pitched in the big leagues last year, and Braden Montgomery, you know, while he is the only guy to not have played, in fact, didn't play at all in the minors last year. Out of the SEC, Texas A&M, it's a big time program. A guy that could have gone top three, and we've seen the trajectories of guys like Dylan Cruz, perhaps, you know, top draft pick just a couple of years ago that has gotten to the big leagues and already produced. I'm not comparing Braden Montgomery to Dylan Cruz here, only to say that if you've talked to evaluators around baseball, you play that level of college ball and you succeed at the rate you did. You play the position that Montgomery did, probably right field. And you've written out your resume for a quick rise to the bigs. So that's kind of the look at the timeline here. But again, Chris Getz was asked by Hoodie on the morning show about the timeline, the individual timeline of those players, and he addressed each and every one with a little bit of a warning here up front too, because I think this is worth noting. Well, what Getz says here to start is worth noting as well.
You know, you don't want to get too caught up in like proximity when you do deals like this. It just so happened that, you know, three out of the four guys are double A and above. And then you've got an advanced, you know, college, you know, outfielder in Braden Montgomery, whom, you know, going into the draft throughout the spring, there was, you know, top three pick type discussions. We considered him as five. So, you know, obviously he's fairly advanced. So, but Kyle Teal's, you know, he's gotten playing time at the AAA level. And you've got Chase Mydroff that has gotten a full season at AAA. So we're really not that far off. You know, the Braden Montgomery, you want to get them acclimated and make sure foundationally they're in a good spot. You know, so you don't want to rush anything. But it's, that's kind of one of the biggest benefits of this deal is just the upper-level talent to help accelerate this rebuild.
That's White Sox GM Chris Getz. A bit about each of these prospects. Kyle Teal went to Virginia, absolutely on fire at AA last season before getting to AAA and slowing down just a little bit. In AA last year, he hit .298. He slugged .462 as a catcher and hit .390. He is not exactly a big armed catcher and isn't that big a guy as well. The White Sox do have a couple of catchers in Corey Lee and Edgar Caro, who might have stronger arms than Kyle Teal, but we'll see. We'll get to spring training and find out exactly. Teal goes 6'1", 190 on most listings, and he bats left-handed. He has was one of the top high school prospects in the 2020 class and might have gone really early, but you know, he wanted to go to Virginia in 2000. Well, we all remember 2020, even though we'd rather not. He adjusted to trying to hunt for power early on in his collegiate career and then became a more consistent hitter as opposed to a slugger. So the question here for Teal is, as it concerns, you know, the White Sox immediately is, you know, can you stay at catcher? And he is pretty athletic and shifty back there. He's a one-knee catcher, which should hopefully increase the framing rate and his ability to receive strikes and grab strikes. That's been that skill set has been improving for Teal. It's not bad, but it has been improving, and a lot of evaluators compliment his ability to improve that particular skill set, which is something, by the way, that the White Sox have tried to improve in the organization with the acquisition of Walker McKinvin, a guy who's gotten the new bench coach for the White Sox and a guy who's gotten a lot of praise for being able to do exactly that with a number of different catchers, William Contreras among them, in the Brewers organization over the last few years. So that's just a little bit on Teal. Braden Montgomery is the next guy in this trade, and I think for most Montgomery, and this is from folks who cover the collegiate baseball, and certainly the SEC more than I do. I call a little bit of Big Ten baseball, so the players that you're going to see in the SEC are generally going to be drafted higher and have a little bit more helium on them. Although that's not to say that the Big Ten isn't an up-and-coming program, especially with the expansion that they've got coming in next year. Really looking forward to all that. But that's, again, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, Montgomery had an ankle injury in the College World Series. He has yet to play in minor league baseball, professional baseball. However, his junior season was absolutely ridiculous. He hit .322, .454, and .733, a slugging percentage in conference play. You could definitely see a 30-homer kind of guy with good defense. He's fairly athletic out there and right. Does seem to have a pretty good arm. 6'2", 220. He is a bit more power over hit when it comes to his profile. There are concerns, fair ones, about exactly how much contact he'll make. And, of course, when you've got a guy that's got a whole bunch of power, you got to make contact with the baseball in order for that power to play. He's got decent speed, a very good arm, and probably rests in right field. He was a pitcher for a little while in college, too. I guess he was popping like 95, 96, had a bit of a slider and stuff. But he is definitely 100% a bat for the White Sox going forward. I think one of the more interesting things, you know, you've got your title fights, right, in spring training, your position battles, who's going to make the roster, all that kind of stuff. One of the fun undercards that I'm looking forward to covering in March, February, March, is where's Braden Montgomery going to be assigned come April, come the start of the minor league season? Could you see him at Birmingham? Is it going to be a brief stint at Winston-Salem, high A, and then on to Birmingham? I don't think that AAA, given the injury, is a place where he'd start, especially given the hitting environment there. I think you'd see something a little bit more, you'd like to see something a little bit more true to real life. Nothing against Charlotte, beautiful ballpark, but it's an absolute launching pad. It's kind of like playing on the moon. So I'd like to see Montgomery perhaps at that AA, reaching AAA, and who knows, maybe in 2026, 2027 for sure, or at least things go well, you're looking at Braden Montgomery wearing White Sox pinstripes, which would be great. We'll get to the other two prospects in this trade, Chase Medroff and Wickelman Gonzalez, when we come back. We're also going to hear a lot more from Chris Getz. The White Sox may not be done
making trades. And there's a big name that is coveted by many. We'll talk about Luis Robert and Andrew Vaughn and Colson Montgomery when we come back here on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.
White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight.
On the home of the White Sox.
ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Sox fans, find the perfect gift for everyone on your list this holiday season with the White Sox Holiday Gift Guide. Shop holiday flex packs, 2025 ticket plans, and more. Shop now at whitesox.com/giftguide. We'll hear from more from White Sox General Manager Chris Getz in just a little bit. Sox may not be done making moves. And we also got halfway through the four prospects the White Sox got in return for Garrett Crochet just a few days ago. We've got to get to Chase Meadroth and Wickelman Gonzalez. Meadroth, the infielder. Gonzalez, the right-handed pitcher that the White Sox got in return for Crochet to Boston. So we'll break those two down just a little bit. But the White Sox may not be done making moves, or at least could have moves on their mind, trades on their mind here in the next weeks, but probably more likely months. I mean, we're talking deadline stuff with the potential. And it's been out there in a couple of different rumors of Luis Robert perhaps being moved in the next effort to get the White Sox a lot more talent that can keep them much more relevant in 2025 and beyond. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Still, though, I want to finish off the two prospects the White Sox got back. Chase Meadroth, the write-up on him, smaller dude, 5'10", 170, an infielder, has played some short, little bit of third, mostly second base, seems to be the spot for him defensively. Played all year at AAA last season and did really well. Led the AAA International League with a .437 on base percentage and has a ton of bat-to-ball skill and strike zone understanding. Just a really good eye at the plate. A good right-handed swing, good feel for the barrel, not a very big chase rate at all, not a huge speedster, and not a big pull power kind of guy. Still, though, what I think the White Sox got here is a dude that features as a solid floor. Maybe I think to say high floor might be a little bit of a stretch. We'll just see what the defense looks like. I'd like to know a little bit more by seeing him about what the defense looks like in order to call it a high floor kind of thing. But solid floor is a competent at bat and a guy that, you know, can really understand what that position means, second base, and how to take his at-bats and be kind of the on-base presence in the White Sox lineup that has been missing for at least two, three seasons. So Meadroth, I would guess, you know, I was talking with somebody fairly highly placed in the White Sox organization, I would guess Meadroth as much as anybody else, anybody that we're talking about here, Teal or obviously Montgomery, Braden Montgomery, or perhaps even Wickelman Gonzalez, I think Meadroth has the best, most likely shot at an opening day assignment to the Chicago White Sox. I'm not saying it's like more than a 50% chance. How could it? It's tough. You know, this is a difficult thing to do. But given where the depth chart sits, I think Meadroth could well be at the top of things and have a good chance to fight and win the battle at second base and be that opening day starter, at least on the right-handed side of things. It's possible that there's a lefty platoon mate for him. We'll get to that probably later on in the next couple of weeks. That's Chase Meadroth. The other guy, Wickelman Gonzalez, a right-handed starter, he goes 6'167", 22 years old, signed out of Venezuela in 2018, and really became one of the better pitching prospects in the Boston organization in 2023. Control, an issue for him, to be sure. However, some of the walk rates have gone down over the last few years, and the strikeout rates have gone up
over the last few years. He is absolutely the kind of guy who's got the big fastball, a decent curveball, an okay slider, and control that they'd really like to refine. It's about 94, 96, can get up to about 97, 98. He's a little flat in the zone with that fastball, according to some scouting reports. And the thing that makes it a calling card here, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, be really interested to see what this trade is going to net for the White Sox. And you would figure that while it was going to be bat first, and it was, right, with Teal and Montgomery and Meadroth all coming back to the White Sox, you expected an arm of some kind of repute. The arm, though, was almost always going to be a guy that had kind of one fringy aspect to his skill set. And then the next question was going to be, what can Brian Bannister do with him? What can the White Sox pitching development, Bannister and Katz, all do with Wickelman Gonzalez? And, you know, the upside for him, the ceiling for him, a 3 or a 2 in the rotation with some nasty stuff and some walks that are going to fight you. There's bullpen potential in here, too, with Wickelman Gonzalez. And I think when you're talking about, and I don't like the term throw-in for the deal, I really don't, but it's often thrown around for the other guy. Maybe that's your throw-in, and if it is, late-in reliever could be a pretty solid addition to what the White Sox need. It does sound like Wickelman Gonzalez is going to get as many opportunities to start for the White Sox as he can handle. So we'll be interested in watching that, certainly in spring training. Now, so that rounds out the prospect package the White Sox got in return from the Red Sox for Garrett Crochet. But they may not be done. Told you earlier Friday morning, our morning show, Cap and Jay Hood, had White Sox general manager Chris Getz on the show. And Hoodie asked him, actually, I think it was a Cap question. Cap asked him about the potential of trading Luis Robert Jr. next. Here is what Getz had to say about that.
Now, Louis Robert, you know, it's you got to be careful with a player like this. Anyone that's been around him and watched him, when he's on the field, we're talking about a player that's close to a 5-win player, and that might be just scratching the surface with a guy like that, just because of how many different ways he can impact the game. Now, you know, we can talk about potential. We got to get him on the field, and I look at last year and get a really good spring training, and even, the early going, and we're talking the first week of the season, you saw his ability to take pitches and drive pitches, get a 2-homer game. Unfortunately, he gets hurt that second week of the season, and he's out for, several months, and he comes back, and it's just, he's out of sorts, and he was playing catch-up, and, he cares so much, and I think it's just, it kind of snowballed, and he just never really got settled. But if we, or any team, I guess, really got the front end of the year right, smoothed it out, maybe got really intentional, just so you just make sure that he's on the field. I mean, the floor of this player, because of the defense and the base running and the power potential, I mean, he's above average player just there, and that's without even the hit tool. And if that's smoothed out, you're talking about a really, really productive major league player. So a year ago, it's tough to even talk a trade about Louis Robert, just because, he's one of the top, performers in the game. And a year later, just because it was a choppy year, how do we assess this situation? What do we predict for the future? So, we still believe in the player. I mean, we really do. And if we can get the front end of the year right, I mean, gosh, he could really help the White Sox. He really could.
So obviously, there's a lot there. And importantly, two things to me. One, Getz didn't say no. And I think that makes sense. And I think it's something that a lot of people will think about here for a little while. Two, it is increasingly likely, I would say almost guaranteed. Guaranteed is a stupid word to say about baseball trades. But as close as you can get to it, I would say it's incredibly likely that the White Sox are starting the year with Luis Robert Jr. in center field. And like Chris said, smoothing out the first half of the season, seeing the elite guy that's there, and then seeing what other teams are going to bid for him in terms of prospect talent. I could see a future White Sox roster that's going to win a division that could still have Luis Robert Jr. on it. Might be a next contract for it, and I think he might be the kind of guy that warrants that next contract. Whether that's something that the White Sox are willing to hang on to for a while seems unlikely. So I think we would be looking at a deadline deal for Luis Robert Jr. if things go the way that on the field that he certainly wants them to go in 2025. When we come back, a little bit more from White Sox general manager Chris Getz and from one of the newest top prospects in the organization, Kyle Teal. That's in a couple of minutes on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
White Sox Weekly.
On Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app. 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000. We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Closing it up here on White Sox Weekly, last couple of minutes, but still a lot to do on the show. White Sox fans celebrate the start of the season with Sox Fest Live at Rimowa, presented by Rate, Beggar's Pizza, Blue Moon, and Wintrust Financial Corporation on January 24th and 25th. Enjoy live music, entertainment, interactive experiences with players, coaches, and White Sox great, and more. To learn more and purchase, visit whitesox.com/SoxFest. One of the White Sox new top prospects, Kyle Teal, had a press conference with White Sox beat reporters yesterday. Talked a little bit. You know, I think it was pretty clear that Teal was stunned by the deal. He was on his way to a workout, off-season training, when he found out about the deal. Fairly blown away. Did not expect it at all. I'm sure you'll hear more from Teal probably at SoxFest Live on January 24th and 25th about the day that was. But while he gets adjusted to his new scenery and new pinstripes, different color of socks, it took forever for us to make that reference here on the show, and I'm glad we refrained for as long as we did. Anyway, he talked with reporters. Teal's want to. His TW has been credited by a lot of people. He loves to play the game. He loves to talk the game. He loves to think the game, and that's good for a catcher. And he talked a bit about just why he loves catching.
You know, there's so many things I love about catching. Throwing runners out is awesome. It completely swings the momentum of the game to your team's favor. Game calling has been something I've grown to love. Just learning how to use certain tools and look at opposing hitters and receiving. I would say throwing runners out and receiving would be the top two. Just how can I present this ball to the umpire to make it a strike?
Now, the other thing Teal talked about was his development last season, almost all of it at AA, about 30 games at AAA last year. Offensively at AA, great, tailed off a little bit in AAA. Defensively, really, really good stuff, especially in the last couple of months. And he talked about just that, he called it an explosion of defensive improvement last season.
I would say that I developed a ton last year, especially from the defensive aspect of just catching every day, learning how to deal with pitchers and work with them to help them be their best. And I think I improved a ton with game calling and that aspect of the game. As for other things like receiving, my receiving metrics exploded towards the end of the year, and it's just I want to keep that rolling as we get going.
So that's a bit from the new guy, Kyle Teal. One more for you, and I think this was a good one from White Sox GM Chris Getz when he was on with Cap and Jay Hood yesterday on the morning show. Go back and listen to that on the ESPN Chicago app if you like as well. Andrew Vaughn and Colson Montgomery are two guys that David Kaplan asked Getz about, and he was pretty forthright about his expectations for both Vaughn and Montgomery as we get closer and closer to spring training.
This is kind of what I think we all signed up for. This is the production that we saw coming. Now it's the major league level. It's professional baseball. It's different than college, but we all saw the potential, but it's about day-to-day production. It's about consistency. He's shown us glimpses. But what he did in the last two and a half months, let's just call it second half, if he does that full season, you're going to look up, okay, that's one of the more productive bats at the major league level and certainly at that position. But we've got to get that going. Andrew's got to get that going. It's a vital time in his career. He knows that, and we're going to try to support him the best that we can because we want him to be part of the long-term future. He's capable of doing that, but he's got to go out there and produce. And then Colson, you know, Colson, you know, went to AAA for the first time this past season, and you know, the underlying kind of statistics were still pretty strong, but there were some tendencies that popped up throughout the year, and you look at his kind of surface level stat line, and you're like, oh gosh, this is a little different than what we've seen in the past. However, you know, we were able to, or Colson was able to find some things the last 2 months there in AAA, and found some looseness and aggressiveness in his swing. And not only was he showing the patience, but he was really going out there, and he was starting to drive the baseball and using the whole field, and you know, kind of just showing us, you know, what had shown up in his whole career. And then he goes to the Arizona Fall League and, you know, continued that. So I, you know, quite honestly, expect him to compete for a spot out of spring training. If he does what he did at the tail end of the year, I mean, I'm not, you know, I think, you know, it's time to see what he's, you know, can do. And, you know, it's a left-handed bat. He can play, you know, a solid shortstop. That's a big part of, you know, our future. So, you know, we're ready when he is. You know, he'll let us know, but we're in a much better spot right now in terms of confidence than we were perhaps in midsummer with Colson last year.
Worthwhile stuff there, and I think we'll be talking about both of those guys probably on different shows in the weeks to come, because they will matter quite a bit as to whether or not their production matters for the long term. In a case like Vaughn, well, that's yet to be decided and something we'll see in spring training. Thanks so much for listening. Big thanks to Jack McGrath, our producer. We're going to talk a lot more about this trade and the prospects the White Sox got back in the weeks to come. So make sure you join us next Saturday on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.